Hello, everybody, and welcome. This is Francis Schott, and I am here with my partner, Mark Pascal. We are the Restaurant Guys. We run Stage Left Restaurant in New Brunswick, and we're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can always visit us at restaurantguysradio.com. And on today's show, we have a couple of interesting topics we're going to be talking about later in the hour. We're going to be talking about California Pinot Noir with a garagiste producer. We'll explain what that means a little later in the program. And we're going to start off the hour talking about foie gras, ducks, and all things ducky. And we have a guest this morning, a woman by the name of Ariane Dagan, who is, I would say, the most important person in America with regard to ducks. And Mark, do you want to tell?
Ariane, welcome to our show. You and your partner George have been doing this D'Artagnan thing now. Your 20th anniversary is coming up in just a week or so.
Just to explain what D'Artagnan is, you're a purveyor of specialty food products, of many different kinds of specialty food products, but especially ducks. And you guys, I think, are more responsible than anyone for bringing quality foie gras and foie de canard to the United States. Would you agree with that assessment, Ariane?
Of course.
Excellent.
We as human beings have been eating foie gras since about 2500 BC, but in the United States it seems to be a relatively new revelation, and I would say mostly because of your company has made this available in this country.
How'd you do that?
It was pure luck.
Yeah, of course, I believe you.
Yeah, no. It's true. We it was a mixture of really good timing and no, seriously. The we both George, my partner, who's Texan, and I were working for a pâté company, and one day those guys arrived with a foie gras in their hands.
Yeah,
and they wanted to. The company where we were working for, they wanted them to distribute the foie gras and make terrines and things with it.
Where was the foie gras from at that time?
Well, there was no foie gras in America, and those two guys who came from Israel were starting a farm up in Monticello, New York. Monticello?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. By the way, Ariane, mm-hmm. I've met George. Your accent is much more attractive.
We are both from the Southwest.
Yeah, exactly.
But he's from Texas.
Yeah.
Not the same Southwest.
Yeah, different Southwest.
Yeah, I'm from Gascogne.
Well, and Gascony is that's the sort of the foie gras capital of France, isn't it?
You come from quite a heritage there.
Yeah. My parents, I'm the seventh generation of people in the food business, mostly restaurants.
Huh.
Yes.
And you decided to be a little more sane than your ancestors and get into a business other than restaurants.
Yeah. I did try the restaurant piece.
Only crazy people open restaurants, Ariane.
Yeah. We had a little rotisserie in Manhattan before the rent tripled.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. But well, okay, so these guys show up with this load of ducks and foie gras to deliver in a country that doesn't eat any foie gras, except some horrible stuff out of a can because they read a Julia Child cookbook.
And very little duck.
Right, and so how do we get from there to, your company's a very substantial company, and you're also not only you're not the only company making producing and distributing foie anymore. It's a rather important part of the American high-end culinary cuisine. How did that happen?
Basically, and to make it short, our bosses didn't want to go into that. I knew, for me it was historical. For me it was the first foie gras in America, the first time ducks were raised for foie gras in America. So for me it was very important. This is what my parents and all my ancestors have based their living on.
Yeah.
And this is a very cultural, traditional thing in Gascony. So I jumped on it. I convinced George to come with me. We knew the potential was enormous. But we also knew that the existing actual market was zero because there was no market.
Yeah.
But we were young and full, so we went for it. We also knew we were not totally fools. We knew that we were not going to be able to survive on foie gras alone right off the bat. So we went into organic poultry and game. Farm-raised game like quail, rabbit, squab, venison.
And what did you raise? What did you raise all these things?
How did that
happen?
Those were contracted. So at the beginning, it was very difficult because the farmers who were raising those were doing it on the side, not as a regular real business.
Yeah.
And they were also keeping it frozen for some crazy chef who one day would have some exotic thing on their menu. So we were the first ones to actually make that a real business. And little by little, when we got our volume up, we started obliging the farmers to raise under our specifications, sustainable farming, no hormones, no antibiotics,
and of course,
when possible, you know, all that stuff.
And of course, not frozen.
And of course, not. That was the first thing.
Right.
They thought we were crazy. We were calling.
We are crazy, Ariane. That's why we're in this business in the first place.
Yeah, yeah. But you have to realize, 20 years ago, we would call people on Monday, all the chefs, ask them what they would need for Thursday. Then we would have to battle to make sure that the stuff would get to our refrigerator before Wednesday night, and we would deliver on Thursday. And even when there is winter storms and problems at the farm and stuff like that.
Were your first base of clientele, was it mostly French chefs to whom you sold, or was it chefs of all different stripes in the beginning?
Well, the French ones, it was easy because I went and I talked about the foie gras, and that was an easy way in, and they already knew what it was. So
let's backtrack just a little bit and make sure everybody knows what foie gras is. Foie gras is the fatted liver of a certain type of duck. And
or goose,
right? In the United States, mostly duck is what we have, though there is goose as well. And a very rich, very delicious, one of the most delicious foods on the planet.
But let's face it, foie gras in French means fat liver.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So it is, and nothing in life is free. Eh? If it's good, it's probably because there is fat in it.
Ariane, I'm sure I have one of those.
Well, fat liver?
Yes.
I think it was your nickname in grammar school.
Are you ready for me? Be careful, I'm going to come and get you.
Ariane, you are probably responsible in part for Mark and my fat livers that we have carrying around with us. But I will tell you that also foie gras is one. It's just a magical food, and there's really nothing like it. And we'll talk a little bit more about how it's made in the next segment. So you went, and it was easy to sell to French chefs.
But not only, because it was, as I said, it was really the right time. There were people like, I don't know if you remember, Patrick Clark.
Oh, yeah.
Who was
of course.
Famous chef, famous American chef.
At the Odeon, yes, and then Café Luxembourg. So there were people like that. Or Charlie Palmer, who was at the time at the River Café.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was an emergence of all those guys coming out of the CIA, and by CIA, I mean Culinary Institute of America.
Right.
The other guy.
Right, exactly. No guns.
We don't know about those when they come out.
All right.
So there was a whole audience of people who were waiting for that type of ingredients because they were tired of having just chicken, lamb, and beef on their menu.
And
they wanted something good, but something different.
And we're glad they did. Ariane, we're going to bring you back in just a couple of seconds for our just to talk to you a little bit more about American and French foie gras. This is Central Jersey 1450, and the time is 11:15.
You're back with the Restaurant Guys on 1450, and we are here talking about foie gras, duck, and all things ducky with Ariane Daguin, whose company D'Artagnan is probably the most important company to do with game and high-end specialty meats in America. And welcome back, Ariane.
All right.
You know, Ariane, Francis and I have been serving foie gras and duck and, frankly, eating them for as long as we can remember. There's a certain segment of the market out there who refuses to eat foie gras because they say we're being mean to the ducks. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Okay. Well, any part of farm raising animals is mean somewhere. You know, is where do you define cruelty? That's mm-hmm. basically it. Are you a vegetarian who decided that anything that means farm raising is going to be or not?
I'm definitely not one of those
vegetarians here, Ariane.
Okay, but so beyond that, raising ducks for foie gras is not more cruel than raising any other animals. It's certainly much less cruel than going and fishing fish.
Well, because just so everyone knows, the controversy that surrounds it is that when you raise a duck for foie gras, the liver gets enlarged by force feeding the ducks. But this is not, I mean, I've seen it done, and it, you know, it's not an inherently cruel process, and it's actually sort of related to what ducks do themselves before they migrate. I mean, isn't that correct?
Exactly. See, you don't need me.
I know.
You know everything. Really.
I need you. And
well,
I
as a matter of fact, in the Egyptians, how they first started eating foie gras was they, you know, ate the ducks after they were gorging themselves.
Yeah, ready to migrate, you know, just before migration.
Yeah, I mean, they weren't. You know, nobody was force feeding the ducks on the riverbank. They were just.
No, but what you can see, you know, when there is a very nice, on National Geographic, there was a great photo on the cover, at mm-hmm. one point, which was actually a duck eating a fish, and you could see the whole fish in the neck of the duck, mm-hmm. the
yeah.
shape,
yeah.
you know, the profile. The ducks and geese, webbed-footed animals, one, has they have this natural propensity to gorge themselves before migration, because they're going to migrate at very high altitude for a very long time. So it's cold.
Human beings sometimes do the same thing, Ariane.
Who?
Human beings, sometimes we do the same thing.
Yeah. And the second thing is that they, in order to do that, they gorge themselves and they have this cuticle. They have this insensible neck, like cuticle, like your nails.
Right, no feeling.
Inside, so they can swallow big amounts of things.
Right, and they don't have a gag reflex, isn't it?
No, they don't.
Now you've been on the farms when the guy comes out with the equipment to quote unquote force feed the ducks.
Yeah.
Are the ducks happy to see this person?
You have two day and a half of acclimatation, because ducks and men usually are enemies.
Yeah.
The predator is the man. He's mm-hmm. not, you know, the other way around.
Let's hope. Unless there's a very large duck somewhere.
Hey, I've never seen a duck that big.
So it takes a couple of days for the duck to understand that man is feeding him and he's a good guy, he's not a bad guy.
Until, of course, he chops its neck off.
Yeah.
Eh? Until, of course, he chops its head off in a couple of days. But for now,
we're bad guys. Nice guy. But, okay. So after those 2 days, then, number one, the duck thinks that he's in migration mode because he's been fed 3 times a day the last 2 days. So now he's in that genetically prepared mode for migration, and he is hungry now. And so when man arrives at that point, then he gets closer to it. He actually comes and wants to be fed first. Because usually it's in parks where you put 5 to 6 ducks in the same park.
You know, it's funny. I read somewhere an article that was talking about, that was sort of on the same side of the issue that we are. This is a boring show, I guess, because we all agree that I don't see this as cruelty to animals. And we're very much about, Mark and I, in buying for the restaurant, organically raised product, low-input agriculture. We do try not to buy things that are cruel to animals and cause animals unnatural pain. We try to avoid that. That's for two reasons.
Me too, but for the main reason is that it's not good.
I know. It makes terrible meat. The best meat is comes from a sustainable agriculture perspective, but I remember reading this one article. They put it very well, and they said, you know, would it be cruel and unusual punishments if we just took the ducks and like let them watch TV and have Big Macs, and they got their livers big that way? You know, I mean, then
but for the people who are against it and actually made that law, the ban voted in California, for those people, PETA, the People for Ethical Treatment of Animals, mm-hmm. yes, it's to put the duck on the sofa with a hamburger would be cruel also, because for them, no, but basically for them, animals and men are on the same level.
Yeah.
So they are the defenders of animals. So by that, they are against taking rats and using them for medical research to find a cure for cancer or for AIDS. They are against taking the honey of the bees because it's exploitation of the bees.
Ariane,
you know.
Ariane.
Yeah.
I have this very pointy tooth right on the top row of my mouth.
Yeah.
In about third grade, they told me that one was used for ripping and tearing. You don't need that one for celery.
Yeah. Mark's definitely a carnivore.
That's it. It's all about meat.
Yeah, but if we have the vegetarian people way, in another 3 generations, we will not have that tooth anymore.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Well, you know, and it's funny. I think that while there are legitimate complaints about methods of farming that are cruel to animals, I think the people who single out foie gras production are really misinformed. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, of course.
Totally.
I didn't ask you, Mark. I want to know Ariane.
But I'm sitting next to you.
I talk to you every day. Anyway, Ariane, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate you taking the time. And if you want to find out more about the products of D'Artagnan and Ariane, again, we will give you some links on our website, which is restaurantguysradio.com. So come and visit there. And we'll be back after the hour to talk about some more things, Ducky. Central Jersey 1450 time is 11:25. You are back with the Restaurant Guys on 1450. We just got off the phone with Ariane Degan, who was probably the most important woman in America, one of the most important people in America, having to do with all things duck and ducky. And we were specifically talking about foie gras and how it's not really cruelty to animals. And I am anticipating the hate mail being written across the listening area as we speak. Well, that's unfortunate. Anyway, foie gras, delicious. I love it. It's not mean. Foie gras, as it's become increasingly available, and you can go visit our website and find out how to get some for yourself at home.
That's restaurantguysradio.com.
Yeah, you got that right. Look at you. But, you know, what do you do with this as a home cook is what a lot of people ask. There are a lot of different ways to enjoy foie gras. And making a cold foie gras terrine, sometimes you can buy a foie gras terrine. But to actually just buy the duck liver and cook it at home is a little involved. But what do you look for either when you're out in a restaurant, Mark, and, you know, I have my own opinions. What do you think about when you make a liver in a restaurant? Because there are a lot of hacks out there taking this beautiful product and making some terrible stuff with it.
I'll tell you, for me, just keep it simple is what I like to do with my foie. It is actually a fairly simple thing to do at home, and especially if you're buying one of the D'Artagnan products that's already cleaned and already ready to go. Really, some of the most simple preparations where you know, in white peach season, I just love to, you put a couple of peaches into a pan, sear that up, maybe deglaze the pan with a little bit of white wine or even a little bit of sweet wine, super hot pan, super sear on the outside so you just get a little crispness on the outside, render a tiny little bit of the fat, flip it over, do the same thing on the other side, out of the pan.
Render the fat just means let the fat come off of the foie gras. When you put this liver, because it is so fatty, a lot of fat comes into the pan, and that's actually kind of, there's a nice euphemism for that. It's called foie butter.
Yes.
It's the foie fat. But the thing is, when you make foie gras at home or when you go out in a restaurant, what you're looking for in a restaurant in a piece of seared liver and not a terrine is it should have a beautiful, crisp skin on the outside.
Absolutely.
And be very rare on the inside, and that's what you need. And if you cook it at too low a temperature, you just sort of get this livery melange.
Yeah, you want two different textures, the outside and the inside. That's really important to enjoying a great foie gras sear.
And if you go to our website, which is restaurantguysradio.com, you will find a recipe for you to be able to make foie gras at home. And you should buy the whole liver. It should be what's called an A liver. There are grades of liver, A liver, B liver, and C liver. If you're going to sear it, it needs to be an A liver, and it needs to be fresh. And we'll put a nice recipe on there. That is something, my favorite way to do it at home.
We want to thank Ariane Degan for spending the last half hour with us, and we're going to be talking with Tim Olson in the next segment. He is formerly of Tarius Wine and now with Olson Ogden Wines. Really spectacular winemaker and a little bit of a hippie. The Central Jersey 1450 time is 11:30.